Welcome to Well Good Movies, the podcast which asks which movies are well worth watching and remembering for all time. Every episode, we discuss a different piece of film history to decide if it should make its way into our movie vault. Filled with questions, trivia, and crazy challenges, it's the perfect way to deep dive into a myriad of movies. But don't just take my word for it. Here's a glimpse of what to expect in today's episode.
I will be asking questions that may or may not have any relevance to the films themselves, but nonetheless have the same answer.
Oh my God, it's Mojo Mind.
Very similar, but legally distinct from Mojo Mind, yes. There's no list that I have picked from. I've just looked at films and chosen some of my favourites.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Are you not entertained?
I am the
father. Hey,
cut.
I'll be back.
Oh, hi, Mark.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
I'm Batman.
It's not the Batman. It's a silly movie. I'll help you, my pretty.
To infinity and beyond.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Well, good movies.
Hello and welcome to Well Good Movies, the podcast that asks which are the movies that are well worth watching and which deserve to be remembered for all time. I'm your host, David Osger, and I am joined by our very own master of ceremonies, Craig McDonald. Hello, Craig.
Hello. Yeah, I love how because there's no exact film for this one, you're just like, what can I do? What can I actually do to embarrass him, to hate on him, to whatever?
And that literally was like the most cobbled together one ever because I was literally like in the intro like, I haven't thought of an intro for Craig.
Oh yeah, so, I'm pretty sure it's the only one where we can hear the cogs turning.
Yeah, I think that's apt for the type of discussion and episode we've got today anyway. So
what, no structure? Yeah, sounds perfect.
So yeah, Craig, we're here doing our annual Movie Vault update. So this is coming at the end of the year, now just before Christmas. We're just going to be looking through all the films that we've discussed this year and having a bit of a look back, talking about some of the highlights. And yeah, it should be a fun time and a kind of unique time, especially these days, because it's not very often, Craig, that me and you just get to chat on these episodes. And I gotta say, it's quite refreshing. It's quite nice. As much as we love the Well Good Movies crew and many of the guests we've had on, it's been quite a full year, I think, with lots of people in and out and different people. So I think it's nice for us to just chat, especially during this time of harmonic convergence, as anyone who listened to our previous Muppets episode would know, is taking place at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like you're pushing it slightly. I mean, I know what you mean. It has been relatively full on, even though that this is like just even looking back at like how many films we've sort of covered this year, it does feel quite impressive. And then like the amount of times where, because I think there was a time over last year where we just had a sort of barrage of like one person guests, and I think that's only happened like a handful of times this year.
Fair. We are here now talking about the year gone by, talking about different films, including one which we recently talked about, which is a Christmas film, which was recorded before your sort of barrier of Christmas. But we are now in Christmas, so I got asked, Craig, are you now feeling festive? Have you come out from the terror nightmare of ghosts past, present, or future, and feeling more jolly?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. There's something easier about this year's Christmas with the concession. My mother was just like, you know what? We're not putting up a tree. And I was fine with that. I think that's actually a nice little balance of just embracing Christmas because there are a couple of decorations all about the place, but just not having it rule life. So yeah, I'm all right with it. I'm now allowing myself to listen to certain Christmas songs. I think some of them I'm also listening out of respect, considering that I think especially with like, you know, Shane McGowan having died this year, you've got to go back and listen to Fairy Tale of New York a little bit more. Plus also like the musical sing-along nights have started doing a Christmas song, so I'm getting involved with that. I've now developed a love of the song Feliz Navidad that I never had before, so that seems like a tip in the right direction.
That's actually like been a bit of a weird soundtrack in my life, like this week. I was coming back from a work trip and with a colleague in which it often be moments in which I don't go on trips with this colleague as much. And sometimes we would just sort of like have very different opinions about certain things, being like, oh, I love this thing. And they're like, I hate that. And you're like, oh, okay. And when we were in the car, Feliz Navidad was playing. And they were like, what a terrible Christmas song. And I was just there in my head, like, I love this Christmas song. So,
and okay, then, that is a bad take.
Yeah.
Like, and then, I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to be listening to this episode, but also I'm sure everyone who was in the car will, you know, agree with this. But they're quite an erratic driver, and today they drove us to our Christmas work meal, and Feliz Navidad was playing again when we were in this car. But the fact we're like rallying around the streets of Bristol, I was like, yeah, this seems apt right now. There's just a bit of chaos going on, but we're trying to stay festive. We're trying to stay jolly. Yeah, I just feel that song now needs to be like in a kind of Christmas movie for like a kind of hectic Christmas scene.
Especially considering the Spanish part of the song is always very, very sort of calm. Even the audiences that I've been around singing it, it's just because not everyone knows enough Spanish to be able to like get into it. So it's always very calm, like Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. And then the moment it just turns into the English lyrics and everyone knows it, everyone just starts screaming at the top of their lungs, like, I want to wish you a merry. Yeah. Jesus, I even spiked on my end there, criminy.
Christmas music has been quite a topic this year. I think Whamageddon has become an even bigger thing. You know, that's been talked about a lot on the radio. I'm not sure if you heard about that. Maybe Leicester, somewhere like that, in which like an entire football stadium was like attending like a match, and a local radio DJ was like the announcer or like the person playing the music in like the interval sort of segments of the game. And they played like a mixture of pop and Christmas music, and Wham's Last Christmas came on, and like half the people in the stadium left, like pissed off that like they had like lost Whamageddon. And this guy had to put out like a public apology about what he did. And Greg James then on Radio 1 was like, this guy doesn't need to apologize to anyone. He was doing his job.
DJ. If you take Whamageddon that seriously, I don't know if I have respect for you or if I need to buy you some AstroTurf. All I can say is if you're the football team in that situation, you've just seen like half the people leave, you do ask yourself, what the hell?
Yeah,
like what kind of weird football fan do you have to be that losing Whamageddon means that you abandon your team that you presumably bought tickets to go and see? Like, at that point it's just you're asking for an excuse to leave.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. I'm like, was this the rival team? Was it just that we're losing anyway or something like that? But yeah, that's quite the decision. It's kind of like a leave in a film halfway through. It's, you know, it's a big, you know, undertaking. You know, like, I have made this choice. But yeah, for that many people to do it, it's shocking. Anyway, so today we'll be discussing whether we felt like walking out through some films we've been discussing this year. We're going to be rounding up our thoughts, any standouts that we've had, any favorites, and a sort of new feature. We're going to be naming our season this year, and looking at what we think is the overall theme or the name that should be given to our discussions this year. So Craig, usually we have at this stage Now Showing, which is talking about the film we are discussing in today's episode. Of course, we're talking about many films. So I know this is going to be your favorite part of the episode, in which we now discuss everything we have discussed this year and how each one connected to the other. So the floor is yours.
So we kicked off the year with the choice from the winners of the Animal Endgame special. So Johan and Katie span our wheel three times, and it landed on the film Seven. Because of the dark themes, the winner of the next Endgame decided to take us in a more buddy cop sort of vibe. So basically going from one dark element of police into a lighter element of police interactions with the film Rush Hour. Again, because of the type, because of the buddy cop theme, there we go very much into a different kind of cop buddy element, in that it was more two people out of time going into the future and battling it out in Demolition Man. From Demolition Man, we went into a different type of man and a different type of dystopian future with The Running Man. And because of the violent nature of all of the death games, that very naturally led us on to Battle Royale. And when you then look at the theme of children trying to kill each other on an island, as well as the fact that I had had my first mental breakdown of the year with regards to the films, we decided to go for Thunderbirds, which brings us into our first entry into the Vanessa Hudgens universe, as described to us by Liv Magander, which brought us then in April or May or whichever month this episode was released. It does not matter. But all you need to know is that that time of year, we should not have been discussing The Night Before Christmas. And because of how a life transformative effect that many of my friends told me that film would have, I then brought us on to a film that has genuinely changed people's lives for the better, with the anti-Semitic smashing film duo of 21 Jump Street, which also had 22 Jump Street, bringing us going into the vault as well. But then that led us on to the idea of TV revivals into movies, and specifically looking at old franchise being able to bring them back with a modern twist, which brought us into The Muppets. And because that film is obviously full of Muppets, we had one that was very much focused on the idea of puppets, and specifically the way in which that was used to elevate the indie classic from New Zealand, Braindead. And then there's not really much of a connection from this one, apart from this was my second mental break of the year with regards to films. But I decided, basically taking a niche aspect from Braindead, in that they were listening to the Archers, I decided to take us up to Northern England with the Full Monty. Also relevant because the series on Disney Plus came out, so I felt that it was relevant to talk about that film at that time. Which began what I can only describe as the walk down Industry Avenue, because the loose connection of dancing and stripping took us into Showgirls, and that took us into the Neon Demon, which was people walking down a catwalk, so the fashion industry, which took us on to All About Eve, which is all about the acting industry, which took us on to Opening Night, which took us on to the theatre industry. We were at least given a little reprieve in the middle because we had The Brave Little Toaster as part of our anniversary run of films. But at that point, this is where I've experienced my third mental break with regards to this year. Not made that much better by the fact we then go into the Halloween spirit, specifically focusing on the idea of age and the trying to recapture youth element of all of those films, going into Dr. Sleep and the cries of agony that I still hear in my sleep because of that film. But then we go on to a more pleasant form of sleeping, where we then go on to Sleeping Beauty. Hopefully that makes sense to everyone. And finally, to end the year, we end, because the connection being classics and general cheery atmosphere going into Christmas, we obviously finish the year with A Muppet's Christmas Carol. So that is everything we've discussed this year.
Yep. And as Craig very well demonstrated there, it was quite a variety. There was definitely some themes there.
Oh, quite a variety, was it, David?
Quite a variety of movies, but definitely some blocks of certain themes coming together, narrative tropes, types of stories, and even tropes and types of stories that kind of like came in and out throughout the year as well. There's films that like had elements of puppetry before we even got to like some of the puppet stuff later on. And then there's like duos as well as being like a massive kind of like theme this year at certain periods, which again wasn't always when they were like linking one to the other. There was a lot of stuff from the 90s and the 80s. There was a lot of like action heroes, a lot of, again, as I said, duos, and then that obsession with fame, but also then the kind of more legacy titles in terms of like looking at things like Sleeping Beauty, Christmas Carol, The Shining through Doctor Sleep. So, yeah, I think last year it was kind of like there was some kind of general vibe sometimes, and there was connections of directors and actors, but there was still quite a variety of stuff. I think the genres were still within certain wheelhouses, but I feel this year it kind of was, in some ways, when you just look at it on a page, I think a bigger variety of stuff. but also maybe a more concrete connections and themes happening, especially story-wise, throughout this year. So, you know, Craig, I guess your thoughts overall about this year were maybe kind of clear, but sort of aside from just walking us through each one, what is your general thoughts now at the end of the year as to how this year and this run of films went?
Honestly, I've felt this year relatively exhausting, because what I've noticed when re-listening to the episodes back is that a lot of films we end up covering later in the year get referenced very, very early on in the year, to the extent that it's actually made sort of the perspective of films, in my opinion, seem relatively constrained. Like, the fact that I think even when we were discussing Showgirls, All About Eve instantly comes up. The fact that Muppets Christmas Carol was mentioned in The Muppets. The fact that there are already discussions of, like, Running Man quite early on before it even came up as, like, a concept of the film. So there are times with this year, I think, a lot worse than last year, that it just became a slog. At least with last year, I don't know if it's just because we had, like, mandated times in which we veered away from this. The fact that we did have the episode with Sam Summers that we wanted an animated classic. The fact that we did have the episode with Jesse Gender that we wanted something more sci-fi based. That we encourage sort of these divergences. I think the only time in which we sort of had a major break from this was just where it's like episodes preparing for our anniversary. And my worry is that if people continue to give us films in this year's sort of vein, and we don't have an anniversary to build up where we can just do those things, I think we're going to wear ourselves to death. Like, I've enjoyed a lot of the films. You'll notice that I think this is probably the year where I've argued the most for things to not go in the vault. And I think part of that is just my general, I don't want to say disdain for the films. I think there's a lot of qualities, but at the point where I'm not willing to, like, advocate for things positively as much as I would normally do, I think that's a problem.
I know, I don't have as negative kind of immediate response to the year as you. I think generally I've had a pretty good time, and I think that might be then a lot of the crux of this conversation and how we kind of, like, look at the year and recap it. But I think, to me, when I look at that kind of, like, list, and when I look at the films we've had, whereas last year I felt that, again, even though we did have a variety, there was still some kind of, like, themes or kind of, like, genres which were still quite dominant. Here I felt that there was quite a few divergences which were strong enough that I didn't feel any kind of, like, overarching kind of types of films that we were covering. I think that even though we've had, like, things like The Brave Little Toaster to kind of, like, split things up a bit, I still felt the things like Thunderbirds, The Full Monty, which, you know, were chosen by yourself, but even, again, earlier in the year, like something like Rush Hour or, you know, Night Before Christmas, I think that all of those were still divergent enough and different enough movies that, to me, this is still quite a big mix of stuff. And looking at things like Brain Dead as well, which I think is such a mash of different types of genres, even though it's still going with a lot of horror tropes or certain types of characters, I think overall, you know, for me, I had a lot of fun this year. I think that there's definitely a big variety of quality. And when you go back and listen to what we wanted from last year, when we were talking about how 2022 was and our hopes for this year, you know, I think a lot of the boxes were checked. I think that, you know, I think you said that you wanted a lot more train wrecks or car crashes, and I think that we got that. And I think that for me, I wanted a bit more genre and a few more films which weren't quite clearly top movies of all time entries that you typically see on those lists. So I'm glad that we had a lot more discussion, that there wasn't a lot of films that clearly went in. There were some films that would be assumed to go into the movie vault, which we still didn't actually decide that should. I think that All About Eve was probably, like, the most clear example of something that you would think would go into the vault, but actually didn't. So yeah. I'm glad that there was a few, you know, choices like that. And I'm glad that there was a few controversial films or ones which we didn't all agree with. And I think, yeah, there was just quite a big mix for me. I think that they were all a lot of fun films. The films that I didn't enjoy so much, I still had some form of good time with. And yeah, I think while you have said that, yes, there is this kind of like block of certain themes or certain characters, for me, it kind of works because I think, you know, if we look back at, again, some of the comments or discussions we have, I'm not sure if we would have ever talked about these films had it not be for, you know, that string of films or the film that came before it. So I'm glad that we got to discuss certain ones, because I don't know if it ever would have come up again had we not had that string of movies, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I generally have had a good time, and I wouldn't change too much about it. I think, you know, going into next year, like I said, I have my hopes, but I think that that's more on a kind of like eras or genres kind of thing, but not maybe in the types of connections or strings that we get ourselves into. Obviously, I think the main thing is I wouldn't want to be going down the same like string of movies again in terms of like, let's talk about Fame again. We've definitely done that. You know, let's look at Duos again. We've done that to a degree, but I wouldn't mind if there's like strings of things again to certain degrees, as long as there's a variety, which I felt there was here, that there was kind of like different directors, different eras, different types of stories. For me, I was fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, I think I can accept it up to a point. I think the fact that it was four films in a row, I think is sort of the breaking point for that argument. Well, like, not even four. If you technically argue, I mean, I still don't think it counts as part of it. But if you also argue that like Full Monty was the thing that like fully did kick off this, look at performance, then it was five episodes worth, which is for us about 2.5 months. I think when you sort of rationalize it like that, I think I'm fine with certain discussions. I think they just need to be varied up a little bit. I also just think it's one of those things where, say, that the natural links that people go for, I think probably just ended up being a bit samey. I think that's the thing that I'm more disappointed with. They're just like, oh, if you liked a film, if you liked a thing like this, then what about this other thing which is similar? Whereas the sort of connections I like are just the more innovative sort of connections. Like, as much as we sort of dreaded having to do Night Before Christmas because of the time of year, that sort of connection was relatively genius. It then inspired, because we needed like a hard turn away from it, it then did inspire my favorite connection of the year, which is the life transforming thing. I think that's just more what I'm after. It also doesn't help the fact that the majority of the films that we've covered this year have been quite dark as well. I think that's probably why I latch so much on to like the Fame thing so much, because we had such a front year in which the majority of the films that we did cover were quite bleak in some fact. You had Seven, which obviously has some of the darkest imagery we'll ever have to deal with. You have Demolition Man, which I think is probably more fun example, but it's a lot of violence. It's a lot of
still dystopian future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not really dystopian. It's just stupid. then it's really Running Man and then Battle Royale. That's just like very, very heavy. And then eventually into Brain Dead, which is also disgusting at times. And then just the relentless log of just here's how Fame is really, really crappy, and then just going into Doctor Sleep. So thankfully the end of the year has been like quite a nice reprieve from that. I think that Sleeping Beauty is the film with the right level of balance of just, there are dark elements to this, but it doesn't feel like a grim film. I think that's sort of the thing. I think insofar as like tone, I think that's probably where I want a bit more variety, because like, let's face it, with last year, I know that you said that just it didn't feel like it had variety. I think it had a significant variety of tone. I don't think we had many, many times in last year's run where we went from something dark to dark to dark, etc. I think there were times in which it broke up significantly. Like Sherlock Holmes was fun and entertaining. That took us into Snatch, which is a bit more gritty. That took us then into The Italian Job, which is an incredible romp of a film. That then led us into The Dark Knight, which obviously had darkness. But then Town Called Panic was just chaos. You see, it just went up and down, up and down, up and down, which meant that it was actually more refreshing when we could go into like the more darker elements. Like, it meant that we weren't being bogged down by all of these feelings going into something like Frenzy, which also just makes it then easier to recover from that when the next thing you go into isn't just that. I think that's more sort of where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, yeah, I do. I agree with you there. I think I see what you mean in terms of, like, you know, the one-to-one sort of films. I think, as I said, like, when you look at it as a whole, possibly last year as well, because we did a bigger focus on horror towards the end of the year, maybe then that changes my perception as that taking up a big chunk.
Yeah, but that's just justifiable on the basis of that was just a Halloween month. We acknowledge that maybe it wasn't the smartest thing for us to do. We changed it to this year, only one episode being specifically the Halloween special. But then we also didn't continue it by having the November choices also being somewhat inspired by that, which at the time seems fine, but on, like, reflection back, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, well, I think that's where a kind of a bit of behind the scenes, you know, and our kind of, like, discussions about the podcast is, you know, comes through into these episodes. Sometimes, obviously, we'll have discussions not on recordings. But I think here, you know, part of my feeling is, and that this will be a part of this episode, is kind of telling people about our criteria as to what we tell ourselves and our crew and our guests in terms of what they should think about. And I think I'll talk about that later in terms of what you know, whether any amendments should be made to that criteria, because I think obviously it is good make that clear so we know the boundaries.
I have one significant change that when we get to it, I would definitely want to suggest, because I think it will address the issues that I've had with this year immediately.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you in the sense of, like, while I think that this year, for me, had a lot of variety, had a lot of great films, had a lot of fun, some great themes, I think it does still, like you said, still has a lot of the same tone and types of films, and I am very eager to get away for some very different stuff. I think just because generally I just want to see a year in which, like here, like you said, if you look at the 2 years, there's still that pattern of kind of like horror back to animation to, you know, crazy stuff. You know, I just want, like, something completely different looking, you know, which has none of these types of films, which I think would be great. So for you, Craig, what are your sort of standouts? Would you say you would only sort of have your favourites there as the standout films for you? Or is it still kind of like films you didn't enjoy much that still kind of like stand out in terms of when you think about this year? I guess we'll go through favourites first, because whether that's films that you'd seen before, maybe you had a new appreciation for, or whether there's things you'd never seen before, which you're really glad that you saw.
Trying to think about this a little bit. So I think that the start of this year was very, very strong in that I never saw Seven. I never probably would have had an excuse to watch Seven. So I've always been, like, aware of it. But my God, was that a striking film. I think it was, like, a strong, bold choice of the year. So insofar as, like, quality film, I think that's a standout for me. I think of the films of this year, for me, I think it is probably the best film that we've watched this year. Insofar as like standout for other reasons, I've got to throw a lot of appreciation for Thunderbirds. I know it's not a good film, but my God, did I actually just have a great time just watching it, just enjoying the stupidity of it. It's the sort of film that people are often afraid to bring onto this podcast. They're just like, oh, I don't want you to have to suffer through this. I'm like, no. Please bring these kind of things to us. Like, I think it's that right level of stupidity. In the same way that I don't rage against Laura for bringing Olive the Other Reindeer on it being being stupid and, like, overly kiddie. I rage on it because it's not a film. That's a different thing entirely. But those are the sorts of things that I also just enjoy. Sadly, none of the films of this year, I would say, reached the same heights as last year in that, you know, they developed a brand new, like, love for a film like A Town Called Panic did. But I think insofar as just, like, those sorts of standouts, yeah, because obviously those are the films that I've had, like, I would have had limited engagement with beforehand. Everything else was either just, there were lots of films that just weren't my cup of tea. There's only a handful of films I just outright despised. And there's obviously the one film that we will never come to terms and agree with on. And unfortunately, it's getting a f***ing sequel. Stupid Demolition Man.
Yeah, I think definitely Demolition Man is always going to be a standout in terms of the start of the year for me. And just continuing a theme for the year One, the fact that so many guests continued to bring it up and tended to love it as well. It's one of my favorite connections as well. You know, I do like how Aaron kind of still took that kind of like duo element and took it in a different direction. Rather than us getting stuck in this like era of buddy cops, I kind of like that it was just then kind of like a rivalry, which was quite different. And then again, strange how then 21 Jump Street sort of brought it back again. But, you know, I don't have as much of an issue with that. But yeah, I think Demolition Man for me, you know, it's not one that I think of like, oh, I've now got a new favorite film or anything like that. Possibly like I did with my reappreciation of Italian Job, which I had seen before, but that kind of solidified to me why it's one of my favorites. Whereas Demolition Man was kind of like, oh, I'm glad I've seen this. I now can understand the kind of like cultural following that it has. And I do, you know, intend to sort of like go back to it because it is a crazy fun time and I understand some of the references now. Onwards from that, I guess Battle Royale is similar. I wouldn't say that it stands out as a favorite of the year, whether that's just a kind of taste or genre thing again, but I'm glad that I've seen it. It's something that for years I meant to watch and I think has a lot of great moments in it. I'm glad that I've seen then, you know, the different scenarios in which people get killed and fight against each other and the different types of weapons and the craziness that that causes, and just the kind of simplicity but also the kind of beauty in the story and the way that it sort of wraps up and has this sort of juxtaposition with the teacher and the students, etc. I thought that you know, did really stand out in terms of its quality and one which I, you know, look at and say yes, that deserved its place in the movie vault. I have to agree with you as well. Thunderbirds was definitely a highlight for me because I think I was also on the same wavelength of you of like, I need something like this. And the fact that coincidentally I had seen like the car from the film around that time in a museum as well. And I was like, oh, that would be a good film to discuss, but I don't know if we ever will. And it's of a similar type of movie in which I wanted to talk about of like these crazy, weird, oddball films. So it kind of scratched an itch for me. And like you said, the fact that it's not that great was also just made it a fun discussion. And, you know, as cruel as it might be, sometimes I like it when people like, come on the podcast and like, I hate you guys for making me watch this. So there's the element that they, you know, people won't suggest films, as you said, because they're like, I don't want you to put you through that. But, you know, by all means, do it, because sometimes we then do that to other people in which they come on and be like, oh, great, you know, thanks for making me have to watch this. I'm sure Mary felt like with Showgirls, which again is, you know, I can't not put that as a highlight for this year because it was such a bonkers episode, which had so many crazy takes and discussions. And regardless of the quality of that film or what we felt about it, it's undeniable that that created a lot of like highlights and big moments and big discussions of like, what is going on here? Why is this the way it is? And kind of made for a lot of jokes and things that would be reoccurring later on. Even then, onto something like Sleeping Beauty, Muppets Christmas Carol, in which Mary is still there being like, what is going on? Why are there these weird discussions and takes that keep getting brought up in these episodes? And I think in a similar vein, Braindead stands out to me because, again, not something that I was like, wow, new favorite film, but I'm glad I've seen it. I'm glad that I watched this kind of bonkers time in Peter Jackson's career and just experienced this kind of like bloodfest, zombie, crazy comedy madness.
See, I knew you were going to bring that film up, if not only because of Chris's like impassioned speech for it at the end.
I didn't even actually think about that, but that was, you know, in terms of like just a highlight of the year, that was one of my favorite moments, if not for just a kind of moment in the recording, you know, for me as an editor, you know, getting to put the music behind Chris's speech. Because yeah, great moment, Chris, thank you for that. That definitely was a standout. And yeah, and I think, like you said, I think it would be obvious then to me that, you know, I've enjoyed then the latter half of the year having Sleeping Beauty and Muppets Christmas Carol, two films that are from my childhood. But I think surprisingly, I'd also put Opening Night in the kind of standouts for me, because again, it's just something I had never heard of or even knew about and was just something so different. And I think that even you'd have to agree, Craig, to the fact that recently at a social we were kind of having to tell somebody about the like, this is how it begins, and this is what we were like both going through, this same experience of like, wait, have I missed a part of the film? What's going on? I like, yeah, how that challenged me.
Yeah, it's also the I mean, it's still also the film that I still, to this day, do not know what I think of it. Like, I'm still not convinced that when I said, yeah, put it in, if it genuinely was like, yeah, I respect this film enough, or if it was just like, look, maybe if I let one in, they'll stop coming.
Fair, fair. Probably if I was going to say any kind of, like, least favorite ones, I'd say the only one that kind of mainly stands out to me is maybe Running Man. I didn't overall have too massive opinions about that one. I think it's fine. I've seen it like kind of celebrated in the same way as some of the other films we've talked about, like Demolition Man and stuff. But to me, every time I kind of see it on like a shelf in a shop, or, you know, brought up with like legacy Arnie films, I'm just like, I have to disagree. I didn't rate that film that much. I wasn't on board with it. Like you said, maybe it was just because, you know, coming after Demolition Man, and then like, a comedy with Rush Hour, maybe it sort of changed my perception of it.
Yeah, for me, I am just going to cast my vote towards Neon Demon. I'm still genuinely baffled by what a lot of the film was trying to do in the first place, to the point that I think that obviously there are going to be people who always appreciate style over substance, but I think there's such a degree of how much you have to sacrifice in order to be able to get behind that film. I'm just like, I don't understand how you people have made this trade-off. You have a random scene of a fucking mountain lion in a hotel room that has like no bearing on this film whatsoever. The only thing of value to come from that episode, in my opinion, was the end game.
Yeah, I was going to say it has led to a highlight there. And I would want to preface that, again, I think last year probably like one of your least favorite films of last year was Frenzy, and then this is another Mary choice with Neon Demon. So Mary, again, you know, Craig's already said it, keep coming with the films we might not enjoy. It's just ironic that we keep not enjoying your choice, and I don't think Craig would include you in that kind of discussion of like people who prefer style over substance. I think that obviously there's a lot of readings, a lot of stuff that people enjoy which just didn't hit us. But again, you know, she's given us great stuff like Muppet's Christmas Carol.
But to be clear, her also advocate was that Neon Demon was doing things that Showgirls was trying to do, but better. And I was like, in one respect, yes. In the rest, it's about moot.
So yeah, I would say those are my sort of main standouts for the year. I think everything else, like I said, I think has been great. It's been enjoyable. I love talking about Brady Little Toaster with Sam. That was very fun discussion because, you know, something we wanted to do for a while.
Yeah, you traitor.
I think All About Eve, you know, I like the fact that we've, you know, stuck to our guns and said the Sunset Boulevard was maybe the better film about fame, etc.,
it is just the better film.
Yeah, well, like, in our opinion,
what we did with regards to the movie vault, I think, was just correcting like an absolute injustice. Of All About Eve winning the Oscar for Best Picture, was it?
Yes, yeah, true.
Yeah, and Sunset Boulevard, not.
Yeah, yeah. To me, yeah, again, that's similar to Running Man in a way of me going, kind of looking at something and being like, yeah, history has kind of treated this differently to how I would. But also I would say in terms of, I'm from a movie vault perspective as well, and kind of reappreciating something because so many films here were new, I think the 21 Jump Street stands out to me. In terms of, like, I like that in the past, obviously, we said we don't want to be adding lots and multiples movies, but I think what you suggested in terms of 22 Jump Street going in was one of the best ever reasons we've had for, like, oh, this is why this should go in alongside it, because we had talked about them both so much. But it kind of, changed my opinion on both films in the sense of, like, in my head for a while, because of things like Bad Neighbors, whatever you want to call those films, and other similar comedies which have kind of had lackluster sequels, I kind of was like thinking, oh yeah, 21 Jump Street was maybe, you know, starting that, or, you know, was the lesser received sequel. But looking back on it now, I'm like, no, those are two solid films which both have great gags, which work on their own, which don't have just kind of like repetition of the previous film.
I don't even know where you would have gotten that interpretation from, to be honest. Like, even at the time when they came out, we were very clear on, yeah, these are incredibly funny movies.
Yeah, I think it's just because, you know, it's kind of like maybe the hangover effect of people like not being on that vibe of like, oh, well, I don't like that they're just doing the exact same thing again. So I think the fact that, but 21 Jump Street makes it clear that that's the joke. But the fact that they have another case, and then it's in a university, and there's somewhat of a like narrative repetition there. I think that that's just why in my head it was like, okay, well, it's still kind of the same film. Does it have the originality that the first film has? But again, that discussion made me just realize, oh, you know, there's re-remember how original the sequel is despite having a lot of like the similar narrative tropes.
My God, talk about needing to rediscover things you shouldn't need to rediscover.
I think, like you said, I think that we're fairly firm on all the choices that have gone in. Just to recap what went into the movie vault.
Except seven. One.
Yeah, okay.
We'll we will there. Never agree on it.
So the entries into the movie vault this year have been Seven, Demolition Man, Battle Royale, 21 and 22 Jump Street, The Muppets, The Full Monty, Opening Night, Doctor Sleep, Sleeping Beauty, and Muppets Christmas Carol stayed in the movie vault. So meaning the films that didn't make it in are Rush Hour, The Running Man, Thunderbirds, The Night Before Christmas, Brain Dead, Showgirls, Brave Little Toaster, Neon Demon, and All About Eve. So yeah, to me, I think that was, you know, I pretty much agreed with all of those. And I guess because we talked about it there, this is probably a good time to talk about the criteria that we've sort of set ourselves and told other people and maybe update that a bit here. So I'll read out what I usually send to people. Usually we will ask for a feature film with a connection to the film we are discussing in that particular episode. We usually ask for anything released from 1906 to 2020. So that's kind of just covering the when movies began up until a time in which we feel that there's still enough legacy or time has passed in which we can talk about the film more culturally as well. So we're not talking about something too soon or something which just wouldn't be available to watch online, etc. A new addition, which has been added this year, be season appropriate. No Christmas films in July.
Yeah.
thank you, Liv. The connection can be anything you want. Style, themes, story, cast. Which again, I think that as we've mentioned, Craig would advocate for in terms of like not sticking to the same connective tissues. Be as creative as possible with your connection as we love to go in different directions and avenues. Again, something Craig has advocated for in our discussion here. And stick to the question of the podcast, which is, should it be remembered for all time? Add in the caveat, I think maybe off the back of last year, with whether it be good, bad, or anything in between.
Yeah.
Not purely just like, why is this film really famous and why should it be always seen as a good film? I have added nothing too controversial. I think you'd be on board with. I don't particularly want to be talking about Cannibal Holocaust or anything like that in the future of the podcast. We talk about obviously questionable actors and stuff. That's just sometimes unavoidable in these, you know, big tentpole films or kind of like smaller films. But yeah, I think anything that's a bit too out there or too crazy, you know, very, very particular small group of films, I think would preferably not go down. And yeah, that's sort of wraps it up in terms of what I've been asking for this year. I'll say the only sort of like factual correction, I don't know if you want to put it that, I would say, which will change, is just the fact that we'll bump up to 2021, which I think opens us up to a new realm of films, because again, now going into 2024, you know, films from that year will have a newfound kind of appreciation or value or legacy to them. So then that means we've got a new group of films that we can potentially be looking at.
Lol, films released in 2021. What a joke. What a joke.
The only other thing I would change, apart from just, yeah, up in the year, I would add that I think that there's nothing wrong with changing mediums as well. I think that some people think that we have to stick to live action. I think that I still don't see any reason why sometimes, again, we have to kind of put this preface of like, we want an animation. I think there's no reason why people can't sometimes think like, well, how can I go from this story of fame or whatever and then go to this other film? You know, I think animation can sometimes be a great way to pivot to something completely different in terms of style, genre, and not even just pure animation. Again, it's whether, you know, you look at things which are like combining, you know, animation, something which I did last year in terms of like Avatar to an extent, which is a very CG heavy film. I think that again, it's just, I would encourage people to kind of think about how it can go to a completely different film, but not just tonally or in terms of genre, but even production wise.
Yeah, I would also agree with that.
So yeah, everyone listening, get your thinking caps on, and we'll be giving you those challenges throughout the year. And definitely something we'll be asking our listeners, because anybody who will be keeping an eye on our socials now as we enter the new year and get close to our 100th episode, we want suggestions from everyone out there as to what you think our 100th episode discussion should be. What film do you think it should be? It'll be going to a vote, it'll be going to some sort of decision, but at the moment we're taking in suggestions. We're looking if there's any kind of like popular films which keep coming up, any standouts. So please do keep giving them to us, and even when it's not the 100th episode, please give us suggestions. It might be something that me or Craig decide to use as one of our suggestions in the future. Maybe it depends on whether how desperate Craig is to pivot away from whatever string of films we have gone on to.
I don't usually need help on those grounds. If anything, yeah. David needs the help, considering that statistically his films are more likely to not get chosen.
Well, burn.
Just Craig, the truth, mate. Sorry.
Just on that, would you say that there's any other hopes for next year? Do you think that kind of covered what your hopes are, or do you have any other specific what you hope to see, anything specific, any types of movies?
Honestly, I feel like the majority of the films we end up covering tend to be more adult themed. I actually would like to just see some more outright kids films, because I think one discussion that happens a lot with various, you know, whether they just be certain friends with snobby opinions, or just other sort of film fans, is I want to have like a good range of like exploring like children's films, just to be able to prove that things meant for kids can have like a significant quality and appreciation for them. I think it's the same with regards to whether they be in animated form as well, because obviously that's a discussion that historically happens a lot whenever we talk about animated films. If only I want to have more animated films so that we don't have that discussion all the damn time, because that also pisses me off. But yeah, so I would also just, yeah, I'd like to just see things insofar as like the audiences, not just like the genre that the film is trying to go for, but specifically the audience it's trying to capture. I'd like to see a bit more variety there so that we can just see how much we think that these things do appeal to these people. And I think that in and of itself is also an interesting discussion to have.
Yeah, definitely. I think that even within films which have a lot of legacy, or you know, a big following, sometimes that can be very age group specific. So I think that, like you said, even if it's looking at films which might come out recently which appeal to an older generation, or whether, like you said, something that's released which is like aimed at a younger generation, I think is important to kind of like tick those sort of boxes. And for me, I think it would go back similar to what I said last year, but I think that what I wanted last year was a kind of different genres. And I think that we did get that to a degree this year. We did get comedy, which is something which I mentioned last year. I think to somewhat of a degree, we had some more science fiction with Demolition Man. And I think that we have had a lot of like 90s, 80s kind of like shenanigans. So what I would really be advocating for now is, again, similar to last year, a lot more like older stuff. I would love to be talking about a lot of like early movies, a lot of films from like, you know, pre-80s, to really get that kind of like history element in there, and to see like, you know, flipping back and forth between time periods. And again, genre. I would just prefer to like not have too much of, again, action, horror emphasis. I think that there's just, again, so many like genres which we haven't really delved into quite as much. I think that there's, you know, even something like romance, for example. I think that, you know, we haven't gone for an out and out romance film, or kind of just kitchen sink kind of stuff, certain dramas, even types of movies, even like documentary. I'm not, you know, I'm pretty open to people doing that. How we would approach that, how we would discuss it, I don't know. You know, it would be a fun experiment though, I think. So yeah, please do think outside the box in terms of demographics, types of films, genres, production methods. We're open to it all. So that takes us on to then something which I teased earlier, which is now that we're kind of getting an idea of the different themes we're going through each year and these different strings of movies, we kind of want to now be able to differentiate those years. So rather than just saying 2022 or 2023, now these years of movies are starting to get their own identities. So we thought it would be a fun idea to start naming our seasons, as now through the evolution of this podcast, we kind of established our first big run of episodes as kind of like the establishing of the movie vault. If we want to be talking about names there, I think that's kind of like building blocks for the movie vault, talking about a lot bigger, broader themes and eras of Hollywood and certain types of films or certain movies. But here, I think we'll be discussing what we think that the first season last year should be named, just as we are now also going to be choosing what this season's one should be called. So Craig, do you have a preference as to what you choose first? Do you think one will inform the other? Or
I feel like we probably need to get through the first season first, just because, one, I think thematically it'll help us sort of get the vibe of what we're looking for the second. Two, I think that's where we both agree we need the most time to sort of discuss it and think.
Yeah. Well, I have some kind of suggestions for that one, or thoughts, if you want me to go first.
All right, go for it.
So, again, as this is kind of like the first year doing that string of movies, I thought you could have something as simple as The Experiment.
The Experiment was one of the things I had in my head, to be fair.
Okay. Similar kind of vibes. I also had Year One, which just kind of, we talked about Batman at one point. I thought, why not? And
that's
also
a bit boring.
Yeah. And also I put Pandora's Box, because I thought maybe we've opened Pandora's Box. Avatar's discussed at some point, one of our biggest episodes of that year, as they had Jesse Gender joining us, but kind of like opening this Pandora's Box of like, oh, now we're now discussing this string of movies, and it's begun the sort of train.
Yeah, so I think of those, I would lean towards Pandora's Box, because I did think of the experiment because you wanted something that encapsulates the fact that we are doing this for the first time, but also just it's a bit of an explosion of things going forward and just something a bit different. The only other thing I had in my head was like, but based on your feelings of last year, I feel like you would not like this title whatsoever. Because I wanted something to sort of encapsulate variety, because I thought there was actually a fair bit of variety with last year. So I had like, all the genres of the rainbow.
Okay. I don't think for me there's enough genres to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, but I did also think The Experiment, but I think Pandora's Box is actually, I think, a bit more novel. I think Year One sucks, no offense.
No, that was the boring choice, to be fair, of those ones. I think The Experiment, to me, would also suggest that like we didn't go back to it. So I think Pandora's Box is a nice way of encapsulating
those. Experiment is like we're testing new things out. Pandora's Box is we've opened it, we can't do anything about it now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Okay, Season One, Pandora's Box. Season Two, what is your thoughts on this year's 2023 run of films?
All right, I think it is very clear that this year has been dominated by two predominant themes. One, a lot of the films we've discussed have been very, very dark in nature. I would have said something violent, but I don't think you'd appreciate having a season called violent something. Two, the fact there's been a lot of performances, as in performance industry-based films. Even if it hasn't been the entire year, the fact that it took up enough of our time that it has become a talking point, I feel like Season 2 has to be encapsulated by it. So I was thinking something along the lines of, like, Dark Dance. So basically something with a bit of alliteration, or of that, or I was also just trying to think of like staging conventions. Or if not Dark Dance, I think the other thing I was thinking slightly different, but it was like, you know, dancing in the dark. But you've also got like, you have like light in the darkness. I shouldn't emphasize dark all the much, but you get the idea of the theming convention that I'm just going for. I think if you don't name it some combination of those two things, I think you're missing a trick.
I was thinking similar kind of vibes. I was thinking of, you know, the darkness and kind of like how certain films have kind of like kept coming back up. So my first thought was to have something with demolition in the name.
I absolutely know.
Well, I think that it just got brought up so many times. But I think even if it's not just in the context of like Demolition Man, I think it's just that to me, that is a way of saying darkness and also just the kind of like chaos I was thinking. So something like demolition chaos, this idea of something like destructive coming through, which you could see with something like Battle Royale, Running Man, you know, Thunderbirds to a degree, you know, like having this kind of very erratic, constantly changing like narrative and genres. Something like Brave Little Toaster, which is, you know, very chaotic and dark. I don't know. I just felt the Demolition should be in there just because of...
I absolutely disagree.
That's why I should. I don't know. I could also... when you were speaking there, I did think Demolition Dance, if you want alliteration. And there is a lot of dancing in this year, actually, when you do look at it. Even Sleeping Beauty, Full Monty, there's a lot of dancing.
I just don't want to associate it specifically to not just one film, but that film.
Apart from the performance thing, what else? Because there's also an element of psychological stuff in all of those films as well, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially Neon Demon, Showgirls, and kind of like dual personality, especially in opening night, Showgirls, Neon Demon. And the fact that we then had like duos earlier in the year, maybe something to do with like dual personality.
Right. Well, is that your suggestion or just...
In a way, because you could say, like, you know, the year did flip, you know, between a lot of different types of films. Like, you look at Braindead, Full Monty,
yeah,
you know, Rush Hour, Demolition Man.
I just feel like that name would be slightly ironic given my criticism of this year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Personality disorder.
Ooh, disorder is a good word to...
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That kind of encapsulates what I was saying about with Demolition Man and Battle Royale and stuff. I don't know. I think I would advocate actually for drunk and disorderly, like drunk with fame, like drunk with power, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
How about drunk and disorderly, brackets, fame, I'm going to live forever.
No.
I'm going to learn how to fly.
No, I was going to say, like, if you make it, instead of drunk... and disorderly.
Yeah.
If you just make it drunk and disorder, and then I'm happy with it. I think disorder is a cool sounding word. Disorderly, just sound wise, just sucks.
I think what you said then just says, I think drunk and disorder.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. So season one, Pandora's Box. Season two, drunk and disorder. So, yeah, let us know what you think of those names and the theming of this year and the movies that we've discussed. Did you have any highlights? Did you have any favorites? Do you have any disagreements about what went into the movie vault or any thoughts that we had about movies? Let us know. But now we have to choose what we start off next year's discussion with. So in order to do that, we go over to our end game.
We're in the end game now.
It's so annoying.
Okay, endgame time. But what's this? David, unfortunately, I can't quiz you on something. You can't quiz me on something. So it looks like we're going to need some help for this segment. So introducing, just for this endgame alone, in one of our usual Craig versus David classics, we have friend of the show, the champion of the Champion of Champions Endgame Cut edition of the Endgame specials, mastermind semi-finalist and all-round semi-professional quizzer, Ed Mason, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, I'm looking forward to taking David on yet again in a game that we do not know yet. So have fun writing this quiz or whatever this game is going to be.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable for reasons I think might become apparent when I start asking the questions. I just had some fun doing it.
Okay, fantastic.
Ed definitely has a theme of like coming into like the introductions of the year, whether he helps into sort of choosing the film like with Room or
his that is true
for the discussion of said film, which has been the first one with Seven.
Yeah, because you were also there to witness its creation. Cool. So, before we find out the rules of the game, we need to know exactly what it is that we'll be playing for. And, as you can probably guess, we usually use these games to determine the films that we discuss in the next episode. So this will be the episode where we decide the first canonical film that we discuss for the year. Our first episode is actually going to be one of our episodes in the lead up to our 100th episode. So we already know what's going to be coming out the first episode. So this is for the first, like, linking chain episodes deal. So David and I both have a film, and the winner will be able to choose which of these films is discussed. So David, tell us about your film.
So as we've discussed in this episode, we said that we want different types of movies and different genres to come up. So that's why I've chosen my film choice. It is from 1959, so it also ticks that box. Again, different sort of era. The genre is something that we have never discussed before. And I also think that it's something that's going to sort of tick a lot of boxes in terms of having something a bit more fun, a bit more adventurous, but also something which is quite familiar, has a lot of like famous names attached to it. And even the creative involved in this film is also known to have been in every imaginable film genre. So quite apt there that it's a filmmaker which has dealt in genre and different types of films, but specifically went back to this genre of movies. And also stars, you know, a very big film star who's playing essentially a character with the last name Chance, which also I thought would be a fun link and reason to use this.
Okay, that's a really interesting detailed description. It's not going to matter because I'm going to win. And the film that you will be getting is my film from 2006. So I decided that, again, this is a genre that we haven't really covered all that much. I think it's come up maybe in fleeting connections here or there. But this is the first film which is purely dedicated of this genre. And insofar as audiences, I think this is very much an audience that we don't really deal too much with regards to, like, films for them specifically, no matter how much I try. But the main connection for why I want to go for this is not only would this have a previous link to a couple of our films, but in a very, very fun, interesting way, a previous connection to some films we had over 2023, but also, as this is the beginning of a brand new journey, I wanted to use this experience to start the journey with this sort of film and this sort of, like, genre films for a film that I've not actually seen this one, but I have seen its sequels. So those are the films that we'll be playing for. But this is now the part where I hand over to Quizmaster Ed. So Ed, tell us about the game we'll be playing today.
Okay. So very simply, I'm just going to ask you a dozen or so questions, the answers to which are films of 2023. Either films that were actually in cinemas this year, or I've also included some films that were recognised during the awards season at the beginning of the year. So 2022 films that were, like, Oscar nominated in 2023.
Oh, I'm a little bit screwed for this.
A broader range of films from which to choose.
Right, okay.
Also, I was a bit worried coming into this because I've written the questions before the episode that has just been filmed happened, so I didn't want to really... I was worried about crossing over any facts and, you know, you'd say something that would then come up as a question later. So in a format that will be familiar with listeners of Endgame specials of this podcast, I will be asking questions that may or may not have any relevance to the films themselves, but nonetheless have the same answer.
Oh my God, it's Mojo Mind.
Very similar, but legally distinct from Mojo Mind, yeah. There's no list that I have picked from. I just looked at films and chosen some of my favourites.
Okay.
So the example that I will give for this is that if I ask the question, what is 5 + 2? The answer,
seven.
Of course, would be 7, which is the numerical answer to that question. Also happens to be the name of a film that is relevant to 2023, I suppose, from a Well Good Movies perspective, but not fitting what I've said here about
okay.
What 2023 might be. So yes, I'm going to ask those questions on the buzzer. Feel free to interrupt, and please do, because that's where you get the point, if and when you know the answer.
All right.
Okay, Both of you ready?
Yeah.
Have any questions about what will happen?
No, I just think that this game should be called Mojo Mind Ed's Revenge.
Question one. Who is Barbara Millicent Roberts better known as? Dave?
Barbie.
That is correct.
Yeah. I was just like, who the hell is this one? Oh, wait, of course.
Yep.
Question two. If I visit the home of the villain from the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise on Monday evening and I stay there until Saturday morning, what have I just spent? Craig.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, yes, I was like, the cogs were turning, I was like,
Question three. Complete the following joke. 16 sodium atoms walk into a bar followed by who? David?
Oppenheimer?
No. The answer, Craig?
I have no idea.
Okay, it is Batman. 16 sodium atoms, sodium being Na. So, Batman.
I just heard atoms and was like, yeah, maybe.
I expected you to answer Oppenheimer. I was just like, you can do that. You can get this
it's
wrong.
It's a trap.
Yeah, two connections to 2023. Firstly, The Batman was nominated for three Oscars this year. Also, I watched the Michael Keaton film for the first time in cinemas this year because it came out on so-called Batman Day of Dark Knight, Batman, and the Joker. Or just Joker. I didn't think it had the word that in it. Anyway.
Yeah, it was just Joker.
I'm looking at question 10. Let's go to question 4, first of all. Okay. And clear the buzzer. Question 4. About whom has it been said that he came from a relatively privileged background and conquered about 2% of the Earth's landmass, contrary to what the movie's poster claims, Craig?
Napoleon.
Is correct.
I was just like, Oppenheimer.
I should go put it, the wording in that first sentence is from Dan Snow on Twitter/X of the History Hit podcast. That is who it has said the wording I'd given.
Okay.
Next question. Clear the buzzer. What three-word term describes the great Michael Caine in what it looks like will be his last film role, given that his character in the film is a World War II veteran who breaks out of his nursing home in order to attend a commemoration of the D-Day landing? Craig.
Isn't it The Great Escaper?
It is, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, thank God I paid attention to Ed when we've talked about this film several times.
Craig had to pay attention to what was Michael Caine's final performance because he thought
he died.
I just
didn't know if it was going to be like dead, not dead or something like that.
Next question. If you get an injury on your skin that is normally caused by heat or contact with chemicals, and in this case, that chemical happens to be sodium chloride, what have you got, David?
Salt burn.
Is correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My mind was so fixated on rash.
I was like, it's a recent one.
Next question. Which film won the 1930 Oscar for Best Picture? A German language remake was nominated this year for the same award and won the Oscar for Best International Feature. Craig.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, yes, of course.
Is correct, yeah. Question number 8. Who has the first name J. Robert and is infamous worldwide for Craig?
Oppenheimer.
This one is Oppenheimer, yes.
I just know J. Robert Oppenheimer. Thank you, Epic Rap Battles of History.
At least I didn't thread the shark with that one.
Next question. If you experience the entire universe at the same time, what are you experiencing, Craig?
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Is correct.
This is the thing I knew would get me, is the fact that you said as soon as you were like, films that are nominated in 2033, I'm like, my brain doesn't work that way.
Oh, luckily I'm not giving you a film-related question, am I? You can work it out just from that.
Yeah. But then that's all of time.
Next question. If I have looked at the 24th letter of the alphabet, what could I say I just did? Do we have an answer? As you live with the puzzle, now, Craig.
Isn't it Saw X?
It is,
oh,
yes.
God.
Saw X.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Next question. What does someone who believes in reincarnation believe in? David.
Evil Dead Rises.
I'm afraid not. Craig?
Is it another life?
No, just past okay. lives.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I was like, this
Evil
is
Evil Dead Rises.
I know, I was just thinking Dead Rises, and I was like, oh, I know it's not called that.
That's not how reincarnation works.
That those famous necromancer religions and belief systems. Yeah. Next question. What dark brown or black viscous substance is often paired with feathers in a form of public torture where the substance is applied to people's bodies, David?
Tar.
Yeah. Is correct. And final question. There's no jeopardy, I'm afraid. It's Craig 7 and David 3. But for glory, David, you can get the final question right. We'll try to. Next, final question. One night, the line, "Karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me," was sung, replacing the original line of the song at which event? The song in question is called Karma, and the singer changed the line, referencing her new relationship with Travis Kelce, an American football player, in the Kansas City Chiefs.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. One night, the line, "Karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me," was sung, replacing the original line of the song, "At which event?" The song in question is called Karma, and the singer changed the line, referencing Craig.
Is this the Taylor Swift Eras tour?
Is correct. The concert film that came out this year, as well as the tour itself, yes. It was the 13th question, because I thought that would be fitting for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And that's your last of the quiz, with the scores now therefore being 8 to Craig and 3 to David. Well done, Craig. You win.
Damn it. I thought I had a chance when it was 2023 films, but then again, we had this bloody award stuff come in.
Yeah, the moment the dynamic came in, I think this just shows how much this is why I write so many of the Mojo Mind questions, right? My mind can think like this and just turn things.
Like the alphabet one, I was like, I'm screwed.
I knew it was X, but for a moment I was like, is there a film like Look X, Watch X? And I was like, wait a minute, so off.
I was just thinking, what's letters at the end of the alphabet? I was like, World War Z.
Okay. That is a counting issue at that point, if you think Z is the 24th letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, exactly.
All right then, fantastic. So thank you very much, Ed. Really enjoyed that quiz, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it has something to do with the fact that I won. So at this point, it now comes down to me to decide between my film and David's film, which is the one that should kick off the year. Now, people would be thinking that I should go for good sportsmanship and let David have his film choice, but I'm not going to do that because I want control of this, so we are going to go with my film choice for the first of the year. Yeah, so David, do you have any idea of what my film is?
I don't know. I thought it was something in the realm of what you were saying about like films for younger viewers at first, and the kind of the sequel thing threw me off a bit. So
right, Ed, do you have any idea what my film is?
No, I don't. I don't know. Sorry, no.
All right, okay. So I want to take us. Let's take a little look through the Vanessa Hudgens universe.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think it comes as no surprise to people that one of my favorite genres, not just for film, but also just in general life, is musicals. I absolutely love musicals. This has probably twigged David a lot more as to what I've done. But yeah, this is a film that I've never seen, but I have seen this film, but two, both live and the film as well. This is obviously the film that has made Vanessa Hudgens such a world-renowned star. We don't deal with musicals all that often. We certainly don't deal with the lives of high school students all that often. But to kick off 2024, we are talking about High School Musical.
Oh, God.
Look, I also just thought that a lot of the starts of the films that we have tend to be quite action-orientated, quite dark-orientated. Yeah. This is very much not that. So even if you don't like this film, you can guarantee that the progression that we get for a little bit will be of genres that we're not usually talking about for this time of year. So see it as potential, David.
Yep. And again, it's another ironic you know, not as much as Thunderbirds, but it was only a few weeks ago that I was kind of reminded of this franchise where I think, what was it? It was like a playlist that we were playing in work, which was kind of like feel good songs or like motivational songs or something like that. And like, me and my colleague were sat there with this song going on in the background. We're like, is this High School Musical? And it was like, you know, one of the lesser known songs from like number one or two. And it was just such a weird choice to have in this playlist because the rest of it was kind of like, you know, big pop hits or like Wake Me Up Before You Go Go and all that kind of stuff. And then just random song turned up. So the ironic thing I find about this is like, imagine now if we like get into this kind of like musical Vanessa Hudgens, high schooler, teenager, like string of films, and Craig is there like, I've done it myself, what have I done?
Look, and that, like, but even then I think like some of the worst musicals still have elements that I'm able to enjoy. Like there's likely some songs I can get behind.
Oh yeah, but people could still like call you like, call it unfair in terms of like when we've gone through streams of like darker films or like certain types of genres, but then if it's musicals again, keep appearing and then you're like, I'm fine with this, people will be like, excuse me.
I mean, maybe that's just what I need to survive. Like at the end of the day, like they could also call you hypocritical if the same thing happens and you're just like, I'm struggling here. It's like, you all right with all the violence and hell and performance that you had in 2023?
To be fair, I look forward to the challenge of pivoting from High School Musical. I think that's a fun one to change from, like you said, to see which avenues that could go down.
So that's the thing. I just don't think it will be the thing that people will want to pivot down.
Yeah. And I think compared to, you know, one of my worries as well was how similar was it going to be to our actual first film as well. So,
oh, yeah, this is certainly not that, yeah. Nowhere near as similar as Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Yeah.
So for those at home, our first episode of the year, which will be coming out on New Year's, which will be very fun, we are joined by Rob Aylin, who has come on the show before talking about Sherlock Holmes, as we discussed, and also Paddington. He is a film director, filmmaker, who has had experience in making Batman films, so we thought who better to come on and talk about Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which is celebrating its anniversary of release, and also has been a film that we've discussed in the past on the podcast, but not actually like delved into the film itself, just one element of it. So we'll be getting more into that in our next episode. But obviously after that, we have the very different High School Musical. So Ed, I shall go to you in terms of what is your reaction, and also thank you for joining us and putting us through another fun quiz. So here's your chance to shout out anything else you would like to about 2023, our line of films, or your thoughts on High School Musical.
I think I saw High School Musical like once years and years ago, and I think the only thing I remember was like the song right at the end of "We're All in This Together." You know, is that the one which is like them all in the in the gym at the end, all like that? I don't know if it says more about my memory or about the film where it all seemed very forgettable to the point where it's just like, yeah, there's some one music scene at the end which I can remember, but that's it.
I would also point out, Ed, one of the more famous songs is Breaking Free, which also appears at Jane's Calamity every now and then when I do show up. So I think that's also why it's been in the back of my head to want to get on at some point.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing people's reactions to that one, and should
I know a lot of people who are going to be very happy with me for doing that and then even more who are going to want to like kill me.
Right, well, yeah, thank you once again, Ed. Anything else you want to shout out, anything you want to send people to, films people should watch?
I've got a letterbox down. I suppose I could sort of mention that. I'm on a letterbox. Yeah, so it's like, I don't know how you search for it, because I've never actually really tried to search for anyone.
Yeah,
I think it's
you like, can search members instead name? Of Ed films. Mason. Yeah, so.
Ed Mason, yeah. I'm also Nomophobe, I think it's my account name on there. So that's Nomophobe, which is, you know, something is my handle in most things online, because it references someone who's got a phobia of not having any mobile phone connection and being disconnected from the internet, which is me to a T.
Nice.
At Nomophobe/Ed Mason on Letterboxd.
Cool, yeah, go find Ed and keep track of all his cinema trips, which we know there's many of, as we often bump into Ed at the cinema, and we know he lives very near to there as well. So thank you, Ed, for joining us and helping us with choosing our film for next year and getting around that problem of how do me and Craig quiz each other in a fair way. So that was very much appreciated. Love the callback to previous Endgame specials. Anything else from yourself, Craig, apart from Celebration and, yeah, just general?
I think it is only applicable to say that with regards to all of the darkness and all of the misery that I had to endure for 2023, I think it is finally time to say we're breaking free.
Terrible.
It's not terrible. It's beautiful, David.
So for those who want to join in the conversation and watch High School Musical from 2006 with us, you can catch it, of course, on Disney Plus as a part of your subscription. But you can also rent it on places like Apple TV, Amazon, YouTube, and Sky Store. Obviously, as we are recording ahead of the release of this episode, it's always worth checking out some of your other regular outlets, unless... your regular outlets in case that changes. I'll say once again to our audience, have a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. We will be joining you in the new year, as I mentioned, with Rob Aylin, talk about Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. If High School Musical isn't your thing, then you've got Batman there to juxtapose that. But please do join us on our first episode of the year after that, as I'm sure High School Musical will be leading the way for whatever bonkers trajectory we go on in 2024. We've had Pandora's Box, we've had Drunken Disorder. What will 2024 bring? Please give us your film suggestions for our 100th episode. We want to know. Send them to us on Messenger, send us on social media and comments. We'll be opening like a page, which should hopefully be online by the time this episode comes out. But yeah, this is our episode recapping the year, so it's right in the December time, just before Christmas. So we hope you have a very nice time. What lots of movies to watch, maybe some of the ones we talked about today in today's recap. It's been very fun. We hope to have great conversations with you in 2024. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To keep up with the latest episodes of Well Good Movies, you can listen to us on all your usual podcast outlets, including Apple, Google, Spotify, YouTube, and more. Don't forget to follow us, subscribe, and rate us where you can to keep our podcast growing. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Well Good Movies to keep up with the latest news and highlights from all our episodes, as well as tell us what movies you want to be discussed in the future. So what are you waiting for? Go check out the film we'll be discussing in next time's episode.
But to kick off 2023, we are going to be talking about High School Musical.
You might want to do that again because we're going into 2024.
Oh, for God's sake.